Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we are here with a Star Trek episode.
It is. I have been really enjoying these issues.
This
series.
Yeah, DS9. I think it took a while for me to warm up to this title, but now it's really cooking.
Does the fact that you really like DS9, the show, have anything to do with that?
I mean, DS9 is okay for me.
Oh.
Like,
it's not like me where it's my favorite.
Right. So we'll get into it, but they're like building on stories now. So
yeah, we got an asterisk with issues 3 and 4.
Right.
So I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I think to some extent the characters are reflecting the characters from the show for me. So I've been enjoying that aspect.
Yeah.
Are there Bun-Bun updates?
Well, we do have Clarice.
Yes, we do.
And she is such a young bun who's so curious about everything.
She is 3 months old.
Yep.
They said 3 to 4, but I don't mind erring on the side of youth.
Yeah.
She's got special young bun pellets. She's just so tiny.
She is.
She came from the streets.
Yep.
It was a cold and rainy night, literally. And this rescue was like, we need space. Everyone is full, but we have this bun that we know of that needs rescuing.
And your house got vetted.
Yes.
And she got vetted.
Yes.
So she has a follow-up appointment for a booster in
a few weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, I think.
I need to make
it. It's Thanksgiving week, I think. So that's like a week and a half.
Yeah. So if it doesn't happen Black Friday, it'll happen the Friday after.
Yeah. So I in comic stuff. So I had to run out for groceries because we're having dinner with Dylan and Chandler.
Yes.
Tonight. And we had bananas to use up because Nick needs bananas for his meds. And I'm like, I'll make banana bread. And then we discovered we didn't have sugar. So I ran up to the grocery store, but popped into the comic store 2 doors down and found the one issue I needed so I can get current on the current Green Arrow series.
Oh, yeah.
That I could not find in any other store. Which is good because it's selling, but it's bad because I want to read it. And it was nowhere to be found. So
it's fine if it's selling, if we're the ones buying.
I know. So I'm glad it's on my pull list. And it just goes to show, if you have a local store, have a pull list. Because that means they will order that issue with you in mind and hold it for you. And the second component is, if you have a pull list, get it regularly. Because the store is depending on your revenue.
Oh.
So don't let stuff sit there for weeks or months. Like, go in at least every other week and pay them the money that they paid to actually get those comics and reserve them for you.
Oh, well, thank you for picking up my comics because I missed a week.
Yeah.
But I think it was a light week for me anyway.
It was. Oh, yeah. I have to get them out of my bag for you. They're still there. You got 4, I think.
Yeah. Nyx, Space Ghost, none of the Star Treks. I think plain old Star Trek is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But also good thing about having a friendly local comic book store, shout out Comic Book College. I even asked if they could pull the Bjorn Barron's covers for me for Space Ghost because I like the art and he's super hunky in them.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah.
Oh, I need to follow up with Cyan Man about my Space Ghost suit.
Oh, yeah. I feel he's done a Space Ghost before. Have you searched?
Lady Space Ghost.
Got it. Okay.
So eventually there'll be another cape for us to make, but no special things on them, thankfully.
Yeah, no detail work.
No detail work.
And my 2 suits from Cyan Man I sent off this past week to Heroes Time so they can get produced. So they should be here by like next week.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. And then I need to make a jacket for one of mine. Oh, yeah. So I have to color match.
I have to keep hunting for brown belts for Hunter from Midnight Suns.
Yeah.
It's on my list.
And it's speaking of Midnight Suns and video games, it's a big week coming up for video games for both of us, but even more so for me, because we let Crusader Kings 3 console version suck away our lives. And it's fine. It's a lot of fun. And they finally have a great developer. And the Chapter 2 stuff that the PC version got like 2 years ago, finally coming out for console, the first part of it. So
yeah, because the first developer blocked you.
Yes.
Because you wanted like just a timeline on fixes for things. And yeah, the game crashed so much once you developed after a certain point.
Yeah.
So this new company came in, improved it immensely. So the auto saves are a little bit longer, but the trade-off is the game doesn't crash.
Yeah.
Which is so nice.
Yeah, it crashes once in a while, but I feel that's going to happen with any game when you have so much data. And it's usually when you're bopping through a ton of menus.
Yeah.
Quickly. Like that, it can't keep up.
Like especially like the court stuff and your lifestyle,
yeah,
and your inventory.
And then Disney Dreamlight Valley coming out with their new expansion on Thursday. Oh. So
I should talk to Mr. Scott for you if there's any Baldur's Gate things that are upcoming and new. Since I'm trying, I didn't.
What do you mean, like the game?
Yeah.
Oh, and they're not releasing anything anymore. Larian said they're done.
Great, then I have a complete set. I am terrible at choosing new things, so I'm still a druid in like three different games.
Yeah.
I gave up on one of them because all the people I wanted to rescue
died.
They got thrown in an oubliette.
Oh.
So I'm like, absolutely not. I think because I messed up going between regions.
Oh, yeah.
So like, I have to finish the Morning Star.
I think Larian stopped. One, I think it was mostly economical. Like they didn't get enough money. What? Like they were all passionate about what they were doing. But I feel the license holder for Baldur's Gate was like not paying them enough. So they're like, well, we're not going to make it. And that could be totally something I'm misremembering. But I feel there is a factor where they're like, we love this game, but
it is cool. And
yeah,
it might be like Mass Effect, where I always go the Paragon route.
I don't know what that means. You can talk to Dylan about that tonight.
Choosing like the good guy options opposed to being a great big jerk.
Mm.
But who knows? Maybe I could develop into a great big jerk. Who knows?
Maybe.
But who's not a great big jerk? Jake Sisko.
Yeah, so this is another two-story arc, and I love their two-story arcs. Like, it makes it easy to read, digest, and conclude. It makes it like a complete episode.
Basically. And it's enough to like give more background and context and like fill it out a bit more.
Yes.
So it feels like a normal episode worth of material.
So we're opening up and Captain Sisko is saying to Jake, this is a great opportunity for you to go write about this jungle planet. More. And you're going along with Keiko, who's a botanist. She's going there because there are tons of plants. And then Kira and Miles are going along too. So Jadzia and Worf are staying on the station for now.
Yeah.
And she tries to convince him, like, oh, it'd be so romantic. Just think of the Targs running around wild. And he's like
howling in the distance.
And his response was, Targs do not live in the jungle. And she's like, thanks for killing the mood.
Yeah, I like that playful aspect of her character still coming through, like does on the show. And then Worf stick in the mud that's a very Worf thing.
Yeah, so they're taking a runabout.
Yeah, there's some fun banter even between Miles and Keiko and Kira about like who's the main star, who are the sidekicks.
Mm-hmm. And there are even random people talking about Garrick's shop. Garrick isn't seen, but they're referencing like this wonderful tailor on the station.
And he's Cardassian, so he must love his work so much to stay.
Yes.
I really hope that's a seed that grows into a storyline later.
I hope so too. I've been looking ahead in our issues. We still have a decent amount of DS9 to go, even taking out the three issues that they have for Telepathy War.
Oh yeah, because that'll be coming up at some point.
After Voyager. Yes, Voyager has to be our next series, so then we can roll into Telepathy War.
Okay.
Although I have to see if Starfleet Academy ties into it as well.
I feel like you mentioned that they do.
I don't know.
Oh, no.
We'll get to Telepathy War.
At some point.
Yes. But anyway, this runabout is going, and it's only an hour away at Warp 3.
Which I feel like is very close. Like, I'm shocked that there isn't a Bajoran colony already.
And that it's a neutral planet.
Yeah.
So they beam down, but some Maquis are there, which we see, and obviously they're up to no good. They're making some sort of deal
with some other humans for some weapons technology.
Yeah, some arms dealing.
Oh, there is a Bun Bun update. Nick is loafing even harder than he was before.
Oh.
He settled in his full loaf, but still has an ear on us.
It is an afternoon.
Yeah.
If it's an afternoon, the bunnies are napping. So Kira and Miles both have phasers. All four of the members of the party have tricorders and comm badges that are linked directly to the runabout that will handle communications and transporter stuff for them.
If you were going on or sending people out on a mission on a runabout, wouldn't you leave a crew member or two? Like, shouldn't there be an ensign to stay up with the runabout?
One would think.
Yeah.
So they go down and they're starting to explore, but they hear other voices and they're like, we picked up like a signal.
Yeah. And like now there's energy dampeners. Now that we're down at the surface, what's happening?
And they sort of sneak up and they hear a part of this deal being negotiated. Yeah. And they're like, oh shit.
And these are the same Maquis from the Germ Warfare Dr. Pulaski issues from not that long ago.
No, so Miles recognizes them, and the Maquis overhear them talking with one another in the bushes.
Yeah, they think they're being so sneaky, but they are not.
They bust in. Miles clocks one of them.
Yeah, they're being very threatening and menacing, and one of them recognizes that Jake is Ben Sisko's son. Like, ooh, you're valuable.
Yeah, and so they all get stunned. That's what happens.
Yes.
In very short order. But then, orbiting the planet, all of a sudden, a Romulan bird of prey decloaks.
Warbird.
Oh, yes. Is it?
Yeah, they're Romulan warbirds. And is Klingon birds of prey.
I thought Romulans had birds of prey as well.
I think in the original series.
Yes.
With like the painted bird on the bottom.
Yes.
They're super cute.
So it's the gigantic thing that like outsizes every single Federation ship ever.
There's so much empty space in the middle though.
It's very odd.
There's like the beak where I think all the folks live and stuff. And then like maybe along the spine. But then there's the huge wings and then the bottom things that go out in the cells.
So they're flying in.
Yes.
They find the runabout. And I should say, right before Kira gets knocked out, she sends a signal up saying, runabout, send an emergency distress call. Yes. And
so that's what gets the Warbird to decloak and blow up the Orinoco.
Yes.
I feel like the Orinoco is always being blown up.
Probably. So back on the station, they're in ops and Sisko is like, where are they? Okay. This is where I have a problem with this because he knew where the fuck they were going. He sent his son and talked specifically about Moror 4. He knows it's only an hour away.
Right.
So logic dictates that they're at that planet, but there's this whole conversation about like, where'd they go? Where'd the signal come from? I don't know. Check the place where they were.
Right.
Let's start
it's
there.
If it's from the Orinoco, you know what planet they're on.
Yeah. So it was a little writing discrepancy here where we didn't need this dialogue. They could have had other dialogue.
Right.
But the Defiant goes into action.
Yes.
And we get the rest of our main crew here.
Right. Odo's there. Dax is there. Worf is there. And Bashir.
Bashir is there. So Sisko is in command. They're flying. Meanwhile, on Moror 4, somehow these Maquis have put together a prison that John McCain would be in real quick. Like some
bamboo poles.
Yeah, they mocked that up real quick with some fiber and some bamboo.
Yes.
You think they just keep him knocked out, but they pull Jake out and they're like, come on. I'm going to interrogate you. And
they're like, what do you mean, botany?
Yes.
And so there's Narek who's there.
Mm-hmm.
And is this where we find out that they're Romulan?
It's here or shortly thereafter. It is here because then Tomalak shows up.
We have run into in the past. And I feel like that's the
He's from Next Generation.
Yes, when Geordi is on the planet with the storms with the other.
Oh.
There's two Romulan pilots.
Yeah.
The Enterprise gets one. One is stuck on the planet. And then Geordi gets stuck down there with them. And they sort of become friends.
Yeah.
But they're still frenemies. And Tomalak is in the Warbird, like, trying to politic his way out of crossing the neutral zone.
So he's a real asshole.
Yes.
And it comes through because this person interrogating Jake is his son and has been, like, cosmetically altered to appear human.
Which we've seen a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. And he basically just lays into his son. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? I didn't authorize this at all. What you're doing right now is real fucking stupid.
Is this the point where he's like, if this mission succeeds, it's going to succeed in spite of you rather than because of you?
Yes.
Daddy issues.
So they take Jake away and put him somewhere else.
Yeah.
Narek goes back to the other three and they're asking about Jake and he's like, don't worry about it. He's taken care of.
Yeah.
And won't commit to an answer.
Very ominous.
Yes.
I love how like a fierce Kira is, like, that's very on brand.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, I just appreciate that the characters are so...
Yeah, she's tapping into her resistance knowledge.
Yes.
And saying, we can get out of this. I have a plan.
Yeah.
To spring us.
Like, her badassness is still coming through. Also, shout out to Tom Grinberg for the art, especially the Maquis ship here and all the ship and station work. I know I've said it before and I'll probably keep saying it. So sorry, dear listener, if that gets repetitive. But the art in these Star Trek comics is just so, so good.
It is.
Like, just the level of detail with the panels and space with craters and asteroids and little hull plates on the ships. It just helps paint the universe in a way that us super fans will appreciate.
Speaking of the Maquis, the Defiant meets up with the Maquis.
Yeah. Because Sisko is like, I'm not going around the Badlands. I'm going to go through. Maquis be damned.
And it's Cal Hudson.
It is.
From the episodes, The Maquis, Parts 1 and 2.
Yes. What a betrayal that was. Sisko was so pissed. Like, this is one of the great monologues that Avery Brooks performs about the uniform and what the uniform means and how can you just abandon all of these values. So yeah.
So they're comparing notes on everything.
Yes.
And figure out we should probably be on the same side.
Because these Maquis are a splinter group.
Right.
We don't like them. And they're meeting some sort of cargo ship in this weird area. So everyone sort of lays their cards on the table, which wouldn't have happened if it was anyone else, but because it's Cal Hudson,
yeah,
it works.
There's a house ad here for a Gambit miniseries by Howard Mackey.
Is it gay because Gambit is in rainbow font?
Maybe. I think he's down in, like, I read it in one of these somewhere. He's in Florida or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
In the Everglades, he does love a bayou.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know if it's the Everglades, but I'm interested. There's also an ad for Maverick number one.
I didn't know he had his own series.
When you're dying of the legacy virus, every operation is a suicide mission.
Oh.
So that's where we leave off this issue. Like, there are a ton of ads in the back of this.
And for Quicksilver.
Yeah, Quicksilver's series, which I have all of.
Oh,
from the 90s. It's 16 issues, 18 issues, something like that.
Because some of the stuff on there of, like, who am I? Oh, my Magneto son. Oh, my family. Who is my family? Like,
Crystal.
Yeah, I saw Crystal there.
Exodus, your boy Exodus.
I just love him.
So it's a 3-page ad.
For one series.
Yeah. So
that's the issue.
Yeah, that is the issue. The back cover ad is for Cheetos. Crunchy nacho flavor, which
that still has to be a thing, right?
No, it's just there's just regular Cheetos. There's no nacho flavor, which is a travesty.
It's Flaming Hot. That's
yes, Flaming Hot. Of. Yes,
yeah. I can see how that issue would translate really well into a TV episode.
Yes,
like there are certain parts that, you know, like, oh, that's the suspenseful moment leading to a commercial break. And womp womp, there's the big reveal leading to a commercial break. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we get a wonderful, I love these, a fold-out.
The fold-out cover, and yep. It's got the data page with all the characters. There's nothing, like, terribly exciting about these descriptions. It does give background for Major Kira, who opposed the Bajoran government's decision to enlist Federation assistance in maintaining Deep Space Nine. Mm. Because at this point in the plotline, like, she was pretty warmed up to the Federation. So it's an interesting choice to leave that in her descriptor.
Yeah.
But Bashir is a super basic. Miles gets a lot because he's the most important man in Starfleet history. Jake is even in here. And Quark, although Quark has not made an appearance outside of, like, there's damage to my bar. Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's sort of a function of the Ferengi episodes in Deep Space Nine being typically a bottle episode with a lot of comedic relief.
Yeah.
And if it's the A story, like, there's more character development happening in B and C for other folks while there are Ferengi antics.
Yeah.
So...
All right, so we pop right back into the Defiant.
Yeah, we remember when we had those...
L-cars,
thank you. I can never remember the name. They're the little blurbs for the Captain's Log supplemental. And again, the art, like, that looks like Bashir. Looks like Avery Brooks. So they are cloaked as they're going through. They... have the cargo ship, which is clearly Romulan. Like,
oh yeah,
if in the Pantone color scheme, like, Romulan green is one of this cargo
color ship. Of the year 2025, Romulan green.
Yes, I guess TARDIS blue is an actual color.
Oh,
so
all right,
but yeah, just the green is very telltale. So, they are here. They're here for to make a deal. Is very back alley. Did you come alone? Yes. However, each side has a cloaked ship. There's some subspace variance, which leads the Defiant to think, oh, maybe there's a cloaked ship coming in at warp. Do an anti-proton scan.
But then they get picked up themselves because of that scan.
Yes. And it's Tomalak.
Yep. And Tomalak blows the fuck out of that freighter.
Eventually.
Yes. But, like,
he goes after the Maquis first. And so the Defiant is there to intercept. And there's the usual, like, oh, look at how far you are from the Romulan neutral zone, Commander Tomalak. And that's when he does his politicking of, like, I'm afraid not, Captain. I'm headed to a neutral planet that neither side has claimed.
Yeah.
That isn't part of the neutral zone. So, like, at some point, does it just, like, run out of map and anything beyond that point, they're just like,
I guess I'd have to look at one of those big fucking maps that they have with, like, all the spheres of the, like, Romulan Star Empire and everything and how everything is spatially.
Yeah, because if the Cardassian space is, like, a longer line, Bajor is independent on one side, and then the Federation Maquis space Badlands must be another part of that line.
Yeah, I forget where it is.
Like, it's close enough where the Badlands makes sense as a place within Deep Space Nine.
Right.
So I imagine they just ran out of map and, like, oh, this is too far out past space either of us has claimed.
Yeah.
Who's going to be there? So the Romulans are like, oh, we're headed to a planet, we are headed down by shuttle, happy to keep you informed. And Sisko's like, oh, let us go with, we're here to assist, but very much that won't be necessary. So much talk in undertones, which is fun. So back on the planet of Moror 4, there's a Komodo dragon, as there is in
many jungle planets in Star Trek. Yes.
Yes.
Komodo dragons.
Oh, what did I say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Kira and Keiko and Miles, I figure out that they're Romulans, and They're working their way out of an actual cell. Like, there's an actual structure here.
Okay. And so they took them from the jungle prison.
Yes, into an actual prison.
Okay.
Which, for an uninhabited planet, where did this structure come from? So it worked. The panel went kaboom. The crew run out and they find Jake. And Jake is like, I was actually expecting my father's, but you'll do. The camera's like, well, I'm glad captivity hasn't dampened your sense of humor.
So they're running.
And they run into the Romulans and Narek.
Yeah, they're not good at running away.
They're really not.
They just keep talking. I think the lesson here is shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And Miles is not great at punching either. Like, just a lack of skills until Kira just, like, drop kicks Neera in the gut. Like, she is launched.
Narek?
Yeah, Kira.
You said Neera.
Oh. It's a day. I made a couple names for someone today, trying to say both your names. So Kira, like, launches herself over a log and with a big crunch, like, kicks the fuck out of him.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun to see.
It is. So,
and very true to her character, as you were saying.
Yeah. Like, the only thing that's missing is her double-fisted punch.
Mm. The Kirk punch.
She's so good at it, though. She took out so many Klingons with it. So they're creating space for Jake to run off. And Narek was about to shoot, but Tomalak shows up. And Narek is like, well, I wasn't disobeying orders. You told us to neutralize them. And Tomalak's like, there are other ways to neutralize your enemies. Like, we're fucking Romulan. Use some subtlety. Use some discretion.
He doesn't know what that means.
No. So they're having a not great moment together. So Tomalak sends Narek out after Jake, and out in outer space, tensions are flaring because this one dude has a scar from a Klingon mace on his face, and he's still pissed.
Yeah, he's real pissy about it.
Like, was he even a looker to begin with?
Probably not.
Probably not.
But he's the commanding officer of the Warbird.
And he's like, I swore if I ever got the chance, I would even the score with any and all Klingon dogs.
Yeah.
Power up disruptors.
I know Worf is there. Fuck that dude.
Yeah.
Which, okay.
So an underling is like, but we were told not to. But we do this for the glory of the Empire. And Cal Hudson calls, and the Warbird is taking action.
There's a big splash page.
Yeah, and this Warbird, like, it grew somehow. Like, it looks 3 or 4 times bigger than it was before.
Yeah.
So the Romulan ships are firing at the Marquis and the Defiant and a very dramatic raise shields.
Oh,
so there's an onomatopoeias. Between. That actually sort of, now that I say that out loud, that actually works for phasers.
Yeah. There's also this ad for Kevin Sorbo in Call the Conqueror. Kevin Sorbo, who is probably going to be in the cabinet or something.
Or what ambassador to who is he going to get?
Where's Call from? Because Trump probably thinks it's a real country.
Pat Huckabee is ambassador to Israel, which is creepy. Anyway, we don't need the doom and gloom of the news.
Kevin Sorbo, who is going to be to Greece, he's going to be the ambassador to Greece.
Trump was like, I saw you in Hercules. I know you have a connection to that place.
Yes.
Even though it was filmed in what, New Zealand?
Probably.
Vancouver?
Rather than supporting Kevin Sorbo, Lucy Lawless.
What a queen.
Which you couldn't watch growing up because they were too sexy.
Yes. Joke's on them. Oh, that woman is too sexy? Okay. that worked out.
Yeah, it did. So we're down planet side?
We are.
Oh, Jake is running. And he's like, oh, this planet's dangerous. Ooh, a tar pit. I'm going to jump over it. And then Narek's dumb and falls into it.
Okay, but first, Jake jumps over the tar pit, and there's some, like, miasma rising. Like, that's cool.
And then he's sip-sipping.
And then he's sip-sipping. Boy, what water source are you trusting that that's close
I
to
never,
a
fire pit? Never. You know what? You're on a jungle planet and you're thirsty? Drink some like dank ass water. No.
He's going to end up in the infirmary so fast.
Yes.
Bashir will be like,
he just got worms.
You have 15 different species of worm in you now.
So that's when he gets shot at by Narek. And this is where Narek is not as observant and it falls into some tar. And Jake is like, I guess I'll rescue you.
He goes in with a sploosh, but his disruptor says, vreep, vreep, vreep. Which, again, like, if you say it in a high-pitched enough voice,
yeah,
it's a phaser.
So he gets a branch, and Narek's like, I never would have done this for you.
Perhaps this is why my father's crew, his father's crew, respects him. I call myself honorable. Could I make the same gesture to a worthy opponent? It is a hard lesson, and the simple youth has taught it to me. He says as tar is splattered across his face.
Up in space.
The Defiant has successfully protected the Maquis cargo ship by scoring multiple hits on the Romulan warship and the cargo ship. Fun fact, in the video or computer game Star Trek Armada, in like the animated cutscene, the Defiant goes pew 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 and like goes in between the space of a warbird.
Oh, that's fun.
The Defiant class has special mines and it's like dropping their mines in between. Mm. But in the game, a Defiant class could never hold up against a warbird. So it's sort of back to a standstill. A futuristic version of David and Goliath takes place as the two starships once again find themselves in a standoff. So Defiant is fine. The warbird is sort of bluffing as to their functionality. And I love how Sisko just sort of baits the commander of like, we know you were not supposed to do this. Mm. Like, no Romulan commander would permit just random firing out of spite on a Federation ship. And this guy's like, a Romulan warrior does not turn away from battle. But in this case, I will pass the glory of the kill to my commanding officer. Like, that's such a weird... an anti-flex of, like, what sort of, like, chest puffing and posturing. Like, I totally had you on the ropes. Har, har, har. So they're backing off. And this is where the Romulan warbird instead
beams everyone off of the freighter
and then blows it up.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you can't say that we did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Like, we're destroying the evidence. Especially because, like, they did that in response to the Defiant beginning a scan of the cargo ship to figure out what was on it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Also, we should say that Narek disposed with the Maquis folks.
Yes, he murdered all of them.
Yes. Somehow, it's okay to murder them right away, but the Starfleets you need to hold on to.
Yeah.
I suppose they would have more value in terms of a prisoner swap or something.
Yeah, especially since the Maquis were like such a small splinter cell.
Right.
What are you going to do?
No one cares about you. So there's some surprise about the destruction of the cargo ship, but at least we've gotten to the truth of the matter and the Romulan involvement. And Cal Hudson is like, okay, bye. So the Defiant goes off to Mor 4. They beam down and they start the search for their folks. Bashir is like, oh, I never knew it was so beautiful. But Sisko is like, beautiful, but also dangerous. Be prepared.
So they find the O'Briens and Kira.
Yep.
And ask about Jake. And Kira's like, I'll go with you. He ran off this way. And Sisko's like, no, he's my kid. You need to get checked out by the doctor.
Like, I know you feel it's your responsibility as ranking officer on this mission, but I got it.
Yeah. So this is when Jake and Narek run into Benjamin Sisko in the jungle.
Yes. And I'm like, I'm okay, Dad. This is Narek. He's Tomalak's son. And Sisko's like, get away from him. And Jake is like, no, it's fine. Like, we're safe. And they want to capture Narek. But Jake convinces his dad to let Narek go. And Eric is in for more pain than we could ever give him with a mere prison sentence, because his dad is a great big jerk. And he bopped too far out of the dampening field, so the warbird found him and beamed him up. And there's a very ominous, "Hello, son, we need to talk.
Yeah.
And then a short while later, everything's good. "Your son helped Narek immensely in apprehending the traitors to the Empire who captured your crew. I will work to include his valor in my report." And Sisko replies, "I'll be making a full report on Narek's valor as well, Commander. I'm sure it'll be an interesting reading, Captain. Almost as interesting as the fact that instead of your traitors widening the rift between us, they helped unite Starfleet and the Maquis against a common foe." And then they're back at the station.
Yeah.
Back in the office. Dax is all hero of the hour, Jake. And yeah, Kira's like, "I don't like the way the Romulans simply got away. Will there be any repercussions?" And Sisko sort of leaves a seed of, "There will be, may not be immediate, but we'll see them. Let's save our victories one at a time." And that's the issue.
That is. That's the two issues.
So I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There's just a little bit of like, wait, how does Sisko know all these things? Like, I had that similar thought to you at one point, especially when they're with the Maquis cargo ship.
Mm-hmm.
But it must have been that Cal knew about that splinter group and they have their own intelligence on the nasty Maquis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I found the description of the Gambit series.
Oh.
"Gambit heads for Miami, home of sun, sand, skimpy swimsuits, and a seamy Cuban underworld. The X-Men's ace in the deck quickly finds himself sucked into a world of angels and devils. What better way to find redemption for his past sins?"
Oh, I mean, can he be in a skimpy swimsuit?
I have that pencil.
That was a swimsuit issue.
Yes.
I mean, we can always take more Gambits in skimpy underwear and swimsuits. What did you think?
I think these are my favorite two issues of DS9 so far.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yeah, I really like the story. Like, I was fully invested as soon as I started reading the first of the two.
And it's fun to see Keiko.
Yes, even though she didn't do a whole lot, it is fun to see her with a mission. Like, they left the kids behind. She's not just being a mom. Like, right. She's actually going to study some plants on more for.
I would have appreciated more dialogue from her.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was sort of hoping that as the resident botanist with DS9, she would have been the one to get them out. She would have found like some fungal spores that if you mix a little bit of this and a little bit of that and you throw it in the Romulans' faces, they have a psychedelic trip or something. Like, there was an opportunity for her to be badass.
Yes.
Especially like, I think this is before they cover up Nana Visitor's pregnancy by saying like, "Oh, we have to beam the O'Brien's baby."
No, this is after they talked. She references both kids.
Oh, she does?
Yep.
Oh,
yes.
Well, so it wouldn't necessarily have needed to be like a building respect between the two of them for Kieran to be like, "Oh, look at you. You could have been a help in the resistance."
Yeah.
But I wanted that moment for Keiko.
Yeah.
I know she's not people's favorite.
Yeah.
But.
All right. Our next two issues of DS9 that we'll cover in the next episode.
I'm so excited.
There's a Rom is one of them. So we get some Ferengi in some way, shape or form.
Finally.
Rom to the rescue. And that looks like Lita.
Yeah.
So.
I almost said Chase Masterson, but that's the actress.
Yes. But. Before that, issue 10 is all about Luoxana Troi.
She's got a baby.
Yep.
So this is after when she marries Odo.
Yep.
To convince that one dude that she no longer loves him.
Luoxana Troi returns to Deep Space Nine, and she has a surprise for Odo.
Womp womp. Yes. Like, he's got the full startled
Rene Auberjonois shocked face.
Yes. And like the aura of pointy stuff behind him.
Yes. So That's what people can look forward to for the next Deep Space Nine episode.
I love Luxana Troi so much.
All right, everyone, let us know what you think of these issues, or maybe even based off of our description. Do you want to see more from Keiko?
Yeah.
Who do you want to see more from?
Do you think that she has it in her to be like, create psychedelic face bombs?
Like a bath bomb. Out?
And how excited are you for Luxana?
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Everyone join the Luxana fan club we have.
And check out the art in these, even if you don't have the full issue, like if you just check out
our Instagram.
Yeah, the art panels from it. They're so fun.
They are. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. We have to go pull a banana cake out of the oven
and get a chicken ready to go in.
Yes. So thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Be well.
Bye.